Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Defense!
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Oh, we are set for kickoff with top 25 battles across the board. Welcome to College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci. Going to be with you for the next 3 hours. Rich, great games on tap. LSU and Auburn, Ohio State and TCU. This is Separation Saturday for these four teams.
Well, I mean, especially LSU-Auburn. I mean, we always talk about the SEC West race, Alabama the team to beat, but somebody's going to have to fill that slot in terms of the next best contender. This is one of those elimination games. Love the Battle of the Tigers. 16 of the last 18 won by the home team, so it looks like advantage Auburn, but I think this should be a close game.
Gabe, when you look at the line movement at the start of the week when these lines opened up for week number three, I mean, at Sunday night, we've seen extreme line movement from Vegas. Some of those games, Florida State and Syracuse as well, Alabama and Ole Miss. I mean, Vegas has really taken an interest in week number three.
The biggest line movements of the week, Joe, you're correct, have been the totals. People have been hammering this Florida State-Syracuse number all the way up to 70 right now. We're going to track this. Hard not to like the Alabama-Mississippi game to go over the number as well, an explosive Alabama offense. We'll track all these numbers. But as you guys stated, one of the best things about college football is every game counts. Every game matters. And the cupcake portion of the schedule is over. Love early conference play. We're going to find out a lot about Joe Burrow today and the LSU Tigers, whether they're actually for real this year.
Yeah, a couple of other great games on tap is Oklahoma and Iowa State, and then Hawaii, Gabe, as well, facing Army. I mean, these are games that really will dictate conference titles and more importantly, which teams could possibly run for a college football playoff appearance.
Hawaii-Army might be the most contrasting game in the history of college football. When you look at the offenses, the run and shoot of Hawaii, you got the triple option of Army. You got the team on the Hudson on the East Coast versus the team in the Pacific Islands.
So we'd be spending time talking about if you would have.
Well, that's what we do. We talk about everybody.
But Hawaii are one of the trendiest teams of the season. And guys, all week long, people aren't asking me about TCU and Ohio State. I've gotten a lot of Texas USC questions. Morenci, what about this Hawaii Army game? Are Hawaii for real? Listen, guys, I've got the over in this game. The number has stayed at 62. I bet this a couple of nights ago at the sports book over at the Meadowlands. It hasn't moved. It stayed at 62. A lot of talk about Hawaii and their body clock. It's going to be 6 in the morning for them. But I'm intrigued by this game. And it's hard not to like what Hawaii's doing here. But it's amazing. That's the game that sticks out. You know, among the gambling community, it's not always going to be the big SEC game that everybody loves.
Yeah.
Gabe, 6 o'clock in the morning for the Hawaiians, that's surf time. They're used to being active at 6 o'clock in the morning. So am I.
Well, if Cole McDonald pulls out this victory later today, I mean, he could possibly be a dark horse for the Heisman.
Cole Brennan was years ago. Cole Brennan made a run.
He ran into Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, but that was after the Heisman voting was done, though. But Cole Brennan was a top 10 Heisman contender, finished in the top 10. Cole McDonald, with that offense, he's going to put up 40-plus, 50 touchdown passes this season with that schedule.
You know what intrigues me about that, Joe, and this game is the fact that we just saw Hawaii play against Navy a couple of weeks ago. Oftentimes when you play a military academy, it's very difficult to deal with the option. Army and Navy, very, very similar systems. And quite frankly, we saw Hawaii just drill these guys. They put 59 up on the board. I'm betting the over in this game. I want to take Hawaii plus the 6.5. They can't play on the inland. They can't play on the inland. But we can't bet on every game, right? Yeah, we'll give you picks. We can't bet on every game. But check it out, guys. I got a whole stack of tickets.
He's
here.
Locked in.
These
ready.
Are just the early games. I got my smoothie. I got my
That's
tickets.
That's putting your
Let's
money where your
roll,
mouth
guys.
Is. That is literally putting your money where your mouth is. I love that.
Yeah, I got about $1,000 in tickets here. Nice. I took my Cincinnati Bengal winnings and laid it all down because, hey, I love hanging out with you guys at 10 in the morning till 1, but I can't get my bets in over at the book. And me and Joe are the same. We like cash money. We like
That's
the
it.
Tickets.
Cash money,
So I'll be heading back over to the book to cash these tickets and play tonight's college games.
Well, let's get into the big ones. I mean, the SEC West battle on the plains. It's number 12 LSU and number 7 Auburn. I mean, it's a marquee battle. You have Joe Burrow, the Ohio State transfer. You mentioned 16 of the last 18 games won by the home team. Now, since 2011, LSU was 5-2 over Auburn and has won those five games by 15.8 points per game. LSU is going to need to start fast here, Rich, take the pressure off of Burrow, and really rely on that defensive secondary led by Greedy Williams. I think they could do it. I'm calling for a low-scoring game, though. 24-20, LSU gets the upset on the Plains.
I don't see the upset. I do see a low-scoring game. I think this will be a defensive battle, so I like the under as well. Field goal kickers will play a key role. I think this game will look an awful lot like the opener, Auburn against Washington. A lot of defense, a lot of stalls in the red zones, plenty of field goal attempts, turnovers. I don't like Joe Burrow in this spot. Here's the difference for me. Two tremendous defenses. Auburn has the outstanding defensive line. LSU, we saw what they could do defensively against Miami in the opener. You mentioned Greedy, Devin White, the linebacker. Those are two potential first-round draft choices. But LSU's offense, Joe Burrow is completing less than 50% of his passes. The Tigers, despite facing an FCS team last week, 26% on third down conversion. So offensively, I don't like LSU, but 10 points, that's a hell of a lot of points in this kind of a rivalry. And LSU has covered their last six SEC games. So I like the Tigers lose, but they cover the game.
Well, Gabe, how about this? I mean, when you look at last year's game, this is a game last year that Auburn dominated in the first half. They held a 23-7 halftime lead. From that point in the second half, LSU ran off 20 straight to get the 27-23 win in Baton Rouge. I mean, the over came in late in that ballgame, and LSU did get the outright win as a home dog. How does that play a factor into this matchup? Because when you look at the game plan overall, I think LSU must be aggressive early on first and second down to take the pressure off of Burrow and rely on that defense later in the matchup.
You're right, Joe. Over the years, LSU have put themselves in a tough spot by trying to put their quarterback in a more favorable situation. And coaches do this all the time, and I don't understand it because they make a lot more money than I do. But if the other team knows that you're going to run the ball on first down and second down because you're trying to put your quarterback in a third and three, third and four situation, they're going to stack the box. Next thing you know, you put your quarterback in a second and nine. You put him in a third and eight situation. You're exactly right, Joe. We saw against Miami that LSU actually threw the ball a little bit on first down. And we saw the same thing with Notre Dame. If you play to lose, you're going to lose. And we've seen Ed Orgeron play it a little bit closer to the vest. Rich brings up a good point as far as Joe Burrow is concerned. It's one thing to play against the Canes on a neutral field. It's another thing to go into Alabama here, to go to Auburn, Alabama, and play on the road. But I like the composure that I saw from Burrow. Now, you guys mentioned a total, and we'll break this game down a lot throughout the day, but you guys mentioned a total, 44.5. You know, you hear LSU, Auburn, SEC, you're thinking smash mouth. You guys mentioned the Washington-Auburn game. But the fact is, the SEC's actually become a much higher scoring conference over the last couple of years. They actually play to the over a lot. And what's amazing to me, looking at the numbers, you guys mentioned 27-23 last year, guys. Four of the last five games that these two teams have played have gone over 44.5 points. Surprisingly enough, these teams have put points up on the board when they played each other. There's just so much speed and talent on the field. And I got to throw it out here. Greedy Williams, maybe the best name in college football.
Mm. Oh, it is. As a defensive back, I don't feel strong about the total today. I put it right on the number 24-20.
Yeah.
But I think LSU, again, has to be aggressive. Here's the thing, too. You mentioned third downs. LSU only converting around 29% on third down conversions. Auburn a little bit better. They're 38%. So Jarrett Stidham, to me, is the key for Auburn overall. If he gets hot, gets into a rhythm early, he's completing 68% of his passes, that's going to force LSU to play from behind, and that's where the pressure comes on Burrow. Like you mentioned, 47%, they need to get Brissett and Edwards-Helaire involved in the short to intermediate passing game early on. If they can't do that, it could be an uphill battle.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't seen more out of Jonathan Giles. I mean, everybody that I talked to in the offseason, the LSU wide receiver, that he was the next great LSU field stretcher. Texas Tech transfer, really had a great offseason against those LSU defensive backs, including Greedy Williams. Here's what it comes down to for me. Two things. Number one, Auburn has a significant advantage at quarterback, Jarrett Stidham, over Joe Burrow. Joe has done a nice job of managing. I think he has the right demeanor for this LSU team, but he's not a real playmaker. He doesn't rise to the level of Stidham. And number two, I said it in week one, and they did better than I expected, but that LSU offensive line is average at best against that defensive line of Auburn. Dontavius Russell, Derek Brown, Marlon Davidson on the outside. I think that's where the real mismatch comes, and I think Brissett's going to have a hard time finding running
room. Didn't we see, though, guys? Didn't we see Auburn? Auburn looked good offensively. Stidham made plays in the first quarter, Joe, of the game against the Washington Huskies. But, you know, my eye test, right. Washington looked every bit as good as Auburn to me,
right,
and could have pulled that game out in a tough spot, flying from the Pacific Northwest into the South to play them. I think LSU's defense is going to contain Jarrett Stidham enough for us to stay within this number.
Yeah.
It's starting to climb. I'm seeing some 11 and 11 and a halves out here right now.
That's surprising to me that that's going north.
LSU are playing with a chip on their shoulder. You know, Orgeron's a terrible coach. He can't beat winning teams. LSU's quarterbacks suck. This team has NFL talent, guys. Where did Odell Beckham go? Where did Trey White go?
Jarvis Landry.
Where did Jarvis Landry go? You know, this used to be Alabama's rival, you know, in the Les Miles era, and, you know, Nick Saban, Les Miles, et cetera, but should be a rival. They have multiple players that are going to be first round and second round, third round draft picks on this LSU Tiger football team. Comes down to Joe Burrow for me. If he can make plays on a big third and six, can he rush for that first down, extend the sticks? But I'm putting my money on this LSU Tiger defense, guys.
Yeah, here's the thing, and you talk about a Washington team that they faced in week number one without Vita Vea, without Dante Pettis. I mean, there were pieces of that Washington team that were not there. And Washington over recent years, from a physicality perspective, didn't hold up against some of the better teams that they faced. They got blown out 24-7 to Alabama, played for three quarters, got worn out. They struggled against USC from an offensive line perspective. So this is the matchup when you look at Auburn in this ballgame. I'm with Gabe here. I think they're the physicality on the defensive front seven, I think they can win this game. And I'll just say this about a public perception. I speak to a lot of people in Baton Rouge that are down on Ed Orgeron, and more importantly, this team. They think that Auburn is a superior team, and it just goes to, I want to say, public and Vegas perception all the time about how we put Auburn in this, I want to say, this top 10 team each and every year with Alabama and Nick Saban.
I completely agree. I've been saying this all week. I think Auburn a little bit overrated. Good program. But top five, Joe, people coming in,
every
Auburn, Auburn, maybe the third best team. They're not better than Ohio State.
Right.
They're not better than Georgia. They're not better than Alabama. Let's be real.
Yeah, and Rich.
But they're in that next tier, though. I don't think anybody's suggesting that Auburn is Ohio State.
No, a lot of people were coming into the year.
Or Georgia.
A lot of people were coming into the year in which Auburn had, people have Auburn as legit.
I think the legit top 10, I would say yes.
Are
I would
they
say
a legitimate national contender to you?
No.
Me neither.
No. No, but I think if you put Auburn at number 10, number 12 nationally, I think that's a fair assessment when you look at their talent. Returning quarterback who will play in the NFL, outstanding defense, maybe a top 10 defense nationally.
Where are they ranked? I don't really care for these.
It's too early. It's so deceptive. It's such a lie.
Well, I think that both teams are going to look to attack the secondary. Auburn's given up about 227 passing yards per game. LSU giving up 224 yards through the air. Both defenses, in terms of run support, rock solid, only giving up 74 rushing yards per game. So it does come down to quarterback play and which team could break tendency and be more aggressive. I'm calling for the upset again.
We're all taking the points.
We're
is
all
that
taking
agree?
The points.
We're
Are you taking Auburn to win the game, though?
Absolutely. I like your 24-20. I don't see LSU winning. I like same neighborhood, 24-20, 24-19. A lot of field goals in this game, and Auburn holds serve at home.
You're going with the over in this matchup?
No, I'm going to stay away from the total. I'm going to take the double-digit points and hope that we can get a smash-mouth game that we were hoping we could get. If it's a higher scoring game, LSU's going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Put it this way. If Auburn score 38 points, I don't think we're covering this number. But if LSU can hold Auburn to the mid-20s, look, let's say Auburn get 24 points. If LSU can give me 14, I cover the number. I got 10.5, and you get a little bit more out there right now as well. I like the LSU Tigers here. I do.
Yeah, let's turn our attention to the other game in Arlington. It's Ohio State and their quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, in Arlington to face Gary Patterson and TCU. A lackluster win last Friday night over SMU. They struggled early with Sean Robinson. This is an Ohio State team, guys, that's averaging 64 points per game. They're rushing for 300 yards per game and passing for 350 yards through the air. I mean, this line opened at 10, Gabe. It's up to 13.5 without Urban Meyer, Rich. I like TCU here. I think they strike the upset.
Win it outright?
I do.
This is Louisville week one all over again. I'm going to have to pull out my John McEnroe.
Not one of my best bets, but
you cannot be serious.
I got to tell you.
I need that sound whenever Joe gives me a ridiculous upset. Ohio State's going to win going away. I just think there's such superior talent here. TCU has a nice young quarterback in Sean Robinson. Gary Patterson always does a good job defensively. Not having Ross Blacklock in the middle of the defensive line, this is where it's really going to hurt. I think Ohio State has a machine on offense. Haskins, all of that talent. Nick Bosa on defense, Draymond Jones. This is one of those games where they're like, hey, we're in Jerry's world. This is big time. It's prime time. I think they dominate.
TCU haven't played in a real big game like this in years. And I was going to say, you know, I'd like to be, imagine Joe's bookie. He's like, man, I love this guy. He's taking Louisville on the money line. He's got LSU on the money line. The only thing bolder than my boy Lisi's suits are his upset predictions. But one of these Saturdays, his bookie's going to be in a lot of trouble. Over at Monmouth or at FanDuel, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. He's going to take down BetDSI with one of these big hits. I watched the game. I was on TCU last week. A little bit of a sweat job early, but because of the weather and, you know, the lightning delay, I'll give them a little bit of a pass. We saw their athleticism sort of take over against SMU, but I think that Robinson's going to have a hard time throwing the football against this Ohio State defense. I agree with Rich. I think there's a talent gap. There's just too big of a difference. TCU are a good program. Ohio State are a great program. Now we get into the Urban Meyer factor, and, you know, we're not going to get into the politics of this. Urban Meyer's not on the sidelines, but he might as well be.
Yeah, we'll see.
He coached the team all week in practice. To me, that's disgraceful that you're suspended, but you can coach a team in practice. But he coached a team in practice, Joe, so he prepared them.
Let's see what happens. We'll come right back. Keep it where it is.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back on College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci, taking you through the top 25 battles later today. Huge battle taking place in Ames between Lincoln Riley and Oklahoma on the road to face Matt Campbell and Iowa State. They picked up this victory last year 38-31 as a 28.5-point underdog. Now they sit at as 18-point underdogs. Oklahoma's won four of the last five, Rich, by 31.8 points per game. But I think Iowa State matches up well without Kyle Kemp or Zeb Nolan, whoever starts this matchup. I think Iowa State covers this number later today.
It's certainly possible. I mean, Matt Campbell's a good underdog coach. We learned that, obviously, last year against Oklahoma. My concern in this game is, can Iowa State in any way keep up offensively? I watched Iowa State last week against Iowa. Good defense. They scored 3 points, first game of the year. Now you have quarterback issues. David Montgomery, we keep hearing that he's one of the best running backs in the country. Pro Football Focus always says, man, nobody makes people miss tackles more than David Montgomery does. Somebody's got to block for David Montgomery. And Oklahoma's defense is playing a little bit better this year. I'm still not going to buy into that defense. I just think that Kyler Murray, with or without Rodney Anderson, I don't love this game. I'm staying away from it. But if I have to choose, I would lay the points with Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up David Montgomery. Last year, he rushed for 55 yards, but he did catch 7 passes for 89 yards in the short to intermediate passing game. That allowed them to maintain third downs and move the football on Baker Mayfield and, more importantly, Oklahoma's defense in this matchup. Gabe, here's the thing that I look at in terms of coaching. We hear Lincoln Riley. He's loved in Vegas as this, you know, marquee head coach. I got to be honest with you, I think the better head coach in this matchup is Matt Campbell. I mean, Lincoln Riley got out coached by him in Norman. He got out coached by him in the college football playoff in the second half by Kirby Smart. I mean, Matt Campbell has a pedigree, built it at Toledo. I think he'll have his team prepared. I want to get your take on this.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've always been a massive Matt Campbell fan. When he took this job, I believe he was the youngest coach, actually, in college football when he took the job at Toledo. Did a great job with the Rockets. Has done a very, very nice job here. We've seen very, very, you know, they're better than Pitt. But similar to Pitt, that sort of pulls a rabbit out of the hat once a year with a monster upset, that's what Iowa State does. You know, you don't want to be laying money on Iowa State when they have to win the game and cover by 7.5, 10 against an inferior opponent. But as you stated, no one's getting rich laying 17.5, 18 points on the road. Oklahoma, what can you say about these guys? And, you know, we're going to find out about Lincoln Riley, I think, Joe, a year or two down the road, because he's been playing with some other guys' players. And, you know, but it's hard to criticize what he's done so far. Really, really impressed with Kyler Murray. Now, I might be a sucker, guys, because I fell for the total here at 55.5. And I'm thinking, Oklahoma's going to rack up points. But, you know, 8 of the last 9 games, Iowa State's given up 20 points or less. The only team to put points up on these guys actually have been the Oklahoma Sooners. And I've seen something incredible here. Oklahoma's 9-15 winning percentage against Iowa State is the best of any FBS program against another one. I'm with Rich here in the sense that I don't see where the points come from for Iowa State, especially with the uncertain quarterback situation. We talk about Oklahoma's offense. They got some guys that fly around on defense as well. And an 18-game win streak was snapped. This is a big, big revenge spot as well. I could see Oklahoma going in here and sort of showing them, hey, remember Boomer Sooner? That's us. But I don't want to lay the 17.5. I've already got a play-in on the over, so there's no turning back.
Yeah, you and I are both on the fence, because I wouldn't be shocked if you got the cover with Oklahoma State. If this was a two-touchdown victory by Oklahoma, it wouldn't shock me.
This is what they do. You know? They cover these big numbers once or twice a year.
And Ames, as you know, is a hornet's nest. They're going to be on that team. I mean, here's the one matchup. No Rodney Anderson for Oklahoma.
Right.
Trey Sermon gets the start. He's a different type of back.
And
he's
Pledger,
a scat,
too. Pledger's a decent back.
He's a scat back, though, that puts pressure on the defense on the perimeter between the tackles. Can he move the chains the way Rodney Anderson can to maintain drives? Now, on the other end, we know Kyle Kemp might play. He might not play. I don't think it matters. I think Zeb Nolan, who completed 54% of his passes last year, is a gutty quarterback. He understands the system. He'll stretch Oklahoma vertically. And let's not forget Hakeem Butler. He's a big play wide receiver that could stretch Oklahoma's defense vertically. I think it comes down to Iowa State doesn't fear Oklahoma. And more importantly, I just think the better head coach with the better game plan is Matt Campbell.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, the fear factor is gone after breaking the losing streak. They beat Baker Mayfield in Norman. Yeah, I mean, that was the most stunning upset of 2017. So fear is gone. I'll buy into that. Yeah, it's a big game for Iowa State because they completely crapped the sheets against Iowa last week. I mean, they just didn't show up. I mean, that was an awful performance.
That was pretty slick. I like that one.
But I think not a lot of people understand how physical Iowa is. I mean, I picked Iowa to win their half of the division. I mean, they lost 5 games by 9.8 points per game.
So I know already next week you're taking Iowa over Wisconsin.
I underestimated the Hawkeyes, full disclosure. And, you know, Northern Illinois hung around.
And it's a rivalry
game. But you're right, that defense, smash-mouth defense for the Hawkeyes. One thing, though, guys, I think now the Cyclones have the Sooners' attention.
Right.
If you look, you know, they had beaten them 18 consecutive years.
You can't sneak up on them this year.
All right,
yeah.
Oh, great. We're talking about look-aheads, and we'll get to whether look-aheads are real. I think it's easy for the kids. Well, we've never lost to these guys before, ever, you know, basically. And now they're like, they know. These guys can play. They're aware. I've been really impressed by Murray, but we will go back to this. I don't think this is the best game to bet on.
I agree.
Like from like, let's be real. Like, we are having fun talking about the game. But from a betting perspective, do you really want to lay 17.5 points against a Cyclone team and Matt Campbell? Matt Campbell's a great underdog coach. So, you know, do you really want to, you want to mess with that? No. And even the total, I'm already in on this. I already played it, so I can't get out of it. But I am concerned just because I wonder if Iowa State can score.
Well, here's the thing. I took them on the money line plus 800. I think if they beat them once, they'll come in loose. I mean, I took a shot. I also took them plus the 18 in this ballgame. I think the key is if they jump up early.
Is that 18? I have 17.
Well, Wednesday at Monmouth, it was 18.
Okay, points, I got
so
you.
It dipped from Wednesday. I think because you're seeing it, there's
currently 18 and 54. So the totals come down. It's 18 and 54 right now, guys.
You could possibly see Kyle Kemp. He practiced on Wednesday. He's a senior quarterback. Nolan is a sophomore. So we'll see how that plays out a little bit later. It is a 12 o'clock kick on ABC.
We got ABC, a lot of guys in the chat here giving us a shout out. Thanks for tuning in, gentlemen. We really appreciate it. Waking up early with us. Hope you shake off that hangover. I'm good. I got a smoothie here. Strawberry banana, baby. But a couple of games, and we'll get to them. We don't have to hit them all right now. But the games that the boys in the chat want to talk about. Rutgers. People bring up Rutgers. How about Kansas snapping out 46-game losing streak against FBS teams? Syracuse, Florida State. People want us to talk. And Houston and Texas Tech.
Yeah, we'll get to both of those. Rutgers, Kansas, real quick.
Rutgers.
I like Rutgers because I just can't see Kansas winning back-to-back games.
Back-to-back games.
I think Vegas has kind of overstated. Great victory over Central Michigan, but Kansas coming home.
For shame, Chippewas.
They finally
won
that game. Yeah. I think Rutgers, as long as Sitkowski
is
healthy.
Supposed to play.
As long as the quarterback plays. Rutgers getting three. Kansas as a favorite against a Big Ten team. I can't see it. I like Rutgers today.
Physical on the offensive defensive lines. Yeah. Kansas doesn't play those type of teams outside of Kansas State within the Big 12. Yep. So I think that Rutgers getting 2.5 on the road. I'll take the 2.5 points in that matchup.
I agree. I like the Scarlet Knights. And how much pressure's on Willie Taggart today?
Oh, huge.
Barely getting past Stanford last week.
That's one of my best bets. Iowa State, I'll say this. I know you're not high on that game. That is one of my best bets of the day. I like Iowa State plus the points in that matchup. We'll turn our attention to the game in Oxford. It's Alabama and Ole Miss. Marquee battle. Alabama dominated Ole Miss last year 66-3. They go on the road as a 22.5 point favorite. Since 2011, Alabama's 5-2 over Ole Miss and have won those five games by 32 points per game. But you're talking about possibly the best wide receiver core in Ole Miss in college football. I think they're able to challenge Alabama. Alabama wins, but Ole Miss covers this number later tonight.
It's possible. I mean, I like Alabama only because I have no faith in that Ole Miss defense. Last week against Southern Illinois, an FCS team, 629 yards allowed. So I think every time Jordan Tiamu, A.J. Brown, Scotty Phillips, they now have a running back, every time they go down the field and score, I think Bama could come back with back-to-back touchdowns. I mean, Bama is going to name its score. Tua under center, Jalen under center. And we talked a lot in the offseason about the running backs at Alabama, but, man, those young wide receivers are growing up in a hurry. Calvin Ridley, who we now have Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith. They had one receiver in the past. Now they have three they can count on. So I think Alabama big. I think they have the Ole Miss has the attention of Bama. I think Bama rolls.
Well, here's the thing, Gabe. I mean, you're talking about an Ole Miss team that is averaging 407 passing yards per game. You have guys like DeMarcus Lodge, Metcalf, and Brown. I mean, that group has combined for 32 receptions, 5 receiving touchdowns, 521 receiving yards. Going up against still an inexperienced secondary up until this point, Alabama's still giving up about 234 passing yards per game. If Ole Miss can jump up early and put the pressure on Tua to match them score for score, I mean, they could be in this number.
There's a lot of ifs there,
yeah,
Joe.
There is.
There's a lot of ifs, ands or buts, and candy and nuts, and we'd all have a Merry Christmas. 66-3 last year. But surprisingly enough, guys, you know, Mississippi have covered four of the last five games against Alabama. This might be Alabama's best team. This might be Alabama's best. And I know that's –
Well, Gabe, when has Alabama had this kind of offensive firepower? It's nuts.
Scary.
I mean, Alabama defense. Nobody's better defensively. Now you have the offense to complement that. I mean, who is going to beat that?
They now have a lethal offense to complement this. And, you know, guys, I paid the price last week. I took Arkansas State. Oh, Nick Saban doesn't cover these numbers.
I thought long and hard as well. Yeah. I was on Justice Hanson for that
one. You know, Nick Saban doesn't cover these numbers against non-conference opponents. He's 1-12 and laying more than 28 points. They're 57. Too good not to.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you put Jalen Hurts in after. Ah, it's blowout time. You got Jalen Hurts.
The backup quarterback has a 26-2 all-time record. He's your backup. That tells you all you need to know.
I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm betting the over here. I'd almost bet the over was in the 80s. I don't see how it doesn't get here. Bama's going to hang a 50 spot on these guys, maybe 55.
And enjoy it.
And it goes over the number.
I don't know. Here's the thing. The last two games in Oxford, Alabama hasn't covered. Last game was 48-43. And here's the MO. I mean, you look at that matchup 2 years ago. They jumped up 24-3 on Alabama, and Jalen Hurts had to lead that comeback. I mean, I still think that's the recipe for Ole Miss to be in this game. Now, can they pull off the upset? They're plus 1,200 on the money line. I don't think they can, but I think they have the type of offense to really push Alabama's defense, get them into a high scoring game.
Well, you brought up the matchup that intrigues everybody, which is that young rebuilt secondary of Alabama against not good. Those are great wide receivers at Ole Miss.
And they're tall.
AJ Brown is a man.
Elite.
So I think they'll land some body blows. In my opinion, I think this is like a 55-24 type game. 55-27.
I agree. I think that's a fair ballpark figure. Remember what I said a couple of minutes ago?
10-3 it'll be. Yeah,
of course.
Maybe Hurricane Florence will be going
through. I did take Pitt last week. Right over here. Yeah, how'd that work out? But remember I was saying earlier in the program, guys, about how, you know, college football and football as a whole, even basketball, sports, everything's sort of higher scoring nowadays. But specifically the SEC. The SEC used to really be the most conference closest to the NFL. Their totals would be like NFL totals, 52, 48. It really played to the NFL. And look, you know, they played from 2012 under, 2013 under, 2014 under, 23-17, 25-0. What happened with changing of the guard, 2015, 43-37, 2016, 48-43, 2017, 66-3. We've had three consecutive overs in this series, guys. Let's make it four in a row.
Yeah, I think I could see the over. I mean, I'm more inclined to take Ole Miss with the points, plus 22.5, plus 23. I mean, you look at Ole Miss's secondary. They're giving up 355 passing yards per game. Tua could have a huge day. And you mentioned those wide receivers. Let's not forget Irv Smith Jr.
A tight end.
I mean, that's the matchup. I mean,
yeah, the big concern is the Ole Miss defense. I mean, we knew going into this season, what happened to the Landshark defense? I mean, the Landsharks
are in Arizona now.
At this point,
they flew away.
They did. Sharknado. Yeah, they're not in Oxford any longer. Right. That much I know. So I think Alabama names its number. Possible cover because Ole Miss has the offensive firepower would not surprise me. Not a best bet for me, but I do like
Joe,
Alabama.
You're not going to be able to afford to look as good as you. You're going to end up dressing like me in jerseys if you keep betting against Alabama, brother.
It's not one of my best plays, but again, you're talking about three touchdowns. I'll take that Wood, and if you want to take a shot, plus 1,200 on the money line. I mean, you can't lose by taking a plus 1,200 underdog. I mean, you got to figure, too, they're not going to a bowl game this year. This is going to be their bowl game, number one team in the country. They're going to look to start fast. And as you know, we had Longo on last year, offensive coordinator. The Grove is a very special place. It's almost like Ames, where teams seem to struggle early on. I mean, Bo Wallace gave Alabama some problems. So did Chad Kelly. So we'll see.
I think Gabe brought up a good point. I'd like to echo that, which is I kind of liked Arkansas. Didn't bring it up on this airwaves, fortunately, but I'll admit I liked Arkansas State because it was like 36, 37
points. 38 points. We still couldn't cover.
Arkansas State has arguably the best offense, and albeit the Sun Belt, best offense. They scored 7 points against Alabama. So even when the backups came in, they couldn't score. So Alabama, Quinnen Williams on the inside.
Najee Harris, too, with the running back.
Yeah, Najee on offense, Raekwon Davis. I think these are the kind of games SEC has begun. I think Alabama gets up for this matchup.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I'm intrigued. It's a 7 o'clock kick. It should be an electric atmosphere.
Oh, it will.
I mean, what about some of the other 12 o'clocks that we're looking at, I mean, early on, Gabe? I mean, in terms of line movement right now, I mean, what are we looking at in terms of lines?
The chat, guys, is blowing up right now. And I told you guys earlier, the mind of a gambler, people can't get enough of the Hawaii Army game. And all you guys in the chat, I know this because you know what it is? You know, the ESPNs and the CBSs of the world, they're going to focus in on Alabama, right? So people tune in to us, and they're like, oh, you know, give us Buffalo, Eastern Michigan.
That's an intriguing game, too, because Eastern Michigan got the victory over Purdue. Rich was dead on with that matchup. They face a very veteran secondary in Buffalo, only giving up around 157 passing yards per game. I'm inclined to take Buffalo in that matchup.
This is a good Bulls football team.
Back-to-back road games for Eastern Michigan. And going back to Hawaii as well, for me, I mean, I look at Navy. I look at the Navy game. That's the recipe. Whichever team could dictate tempo is going to win that matchup. I think Army has a better defense than Navy does, for that matter. And I think Army can run the football, establish the line of scrimmage early, and get them into a lower scoring game. Don't feel confident about as a best bet, but I would lean Army in that matchup.
Been some line movement, and everybody in the chat is, and the chat's starting to fill up right now. Welcome aboard. The people, everyone's on Army. It's up to 6.5 right now.
Scares me, though. It scares me because of everybody on Army and the 6 o'clock thing that we've heard in terms of body time, with everybody in Vegas liking that. Cole McDonald, I'm telling you, if he jumps up early, that's the way you beat the triple option. You jump up early, face them to play from behind. I mean, if Hawaii scores first, game could be over.
An interesting game that we haven't gotten to. I'm surprised it hasn't come up yet. Our boy Larry asked, is Vanderbilt in a good spot to pull off the upset against the Irish? And generally, guys, you know, I lost with Vanderbilt like three weeks in a row last year, and I just wanted to put my fist through my television and my bald head through a wall. Earlier in the week, I'm like, oh, I'll take Vandy. Here, give me the 2 touchdowns. Now as game time approaches, I'm starting to get cold feet. I think people saw Notre Dame against Ball State. Coming off that big win against Michigan, it was a little bit of a come down. Hey, let's just get through this. Now against an SEC team, I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame drilled them.
We'll get back to that game in the next segment. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci. Keep it where it is.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci taking you through today's top action. Marquee battle taking place in Stillwater. It's Brett Rypien and Boise State on the road to face the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I really like this game, Rich. I mean, Oklahoma State's a team in the Big 12. Not a lot of people talking about Cornelius, their quarterback, playing very well in the system. He's thrown for over 700 yards in that offense. He has guys like Dylan Stoner, Justice Hill, and more importantly, Jalen McCleskey, that I think could stretch Boise State today, and I'm calling for the double-digit win over
Boise
State.
Hey, kids, Joey Double Digits is back.
Joey Double Digits. Is back in action with the. I'm telling you, I think they're going to.
Yeah, I like Boise State in this game. Nobody has played anybody. Neither of these teams has played anybody in the first couple of weeks. So we're going to learn a lot about Boise State and Oklahoma State. Boise State, to me, is a Power 5 caliber team this year. And Oklahoma State, Taylor Cornelius has been fine, and they have nice wide receivers. Justice Hill is outstanding, but Boise State's got the better defense. Now they get back David Moa, their best interior lineman. Tyler Horton, the cornerback, I think will match up well with the Oklahoma State receivers. And Brett Rypien, who I've been down on over the past couple of years, has been spectacular. Now, you know, you never want to overstate wins over Troy and UConn, but the way they dismantled those two teams, offensively and defensively, very impressive. Boise State, what's the signature moment for Boise State in the history of Boise State?
Fiesta Bowl.
Against Oklahoma. They get one against Oklahoma State today. I think they're capable of winning in Stillwater.
Oh, they're definitely capable, Gabe. I think the thing that you mentioned, or that Rich mentioned, is Troy and UConn, not the type of offense that's going to stretch that Boise State secondary vertically. We're talking about elite speed on the outside, and I think that's the recipe to watch in this matchup. I mean, again, I think Oklahoma State could spread them and attack them vertically. That's why I like the Cowboys here.
And while we're in the post-Mason Rudolph era, this is going to be a big step up for Cornelius to take on this Boise State football club. Anybody that pays attention to our shows knows I went on record as stating I think Boise State runs the table this year. I think they're going to run the table. I think they're that good. And I think they're going to prove this today. You mentioned Brett Rypien. I was never the biggest Brett Rypien fan either. At times we saw when the Kansas transfer, Cozart, came in, the offense would be more efficient with his scrambling ability. And I don't know. It seems like Brett Rippon's been around longer than Mangum up there in BYU, which is Rippon's like 18th year of eligibility. But with that being stated, of course, his uncle Mark Rippon, Washington Redskin MVP, Super Bowl champion. So Rippon is an experienced quarterback right now. The big difference, though, guys, they've got real skill maker players. This Hightower transfer kid,
Sean Monster,
yeah, a real monster. You know, Richardson. They've got electric players right now, explosive skill position players, a very good defense. People were a little bit critical of Harsin, even though the guy's done a great job there. He puts up 9-10 wins. You know, the Mountain West titles weren't there. The expectation level was so high after Chris Peterson. This is Harsin's best football team. I think they are going to be playing in a big-time bowl game this year, and I think it starts with a big win here today. Give me Boise State and the over in this football game.
You think it's high scoring? I could see it, obviously, 55-45 Oklahoma State. I mean, that's what I think. I think they get up there.
I don't think it gets that high. I'm looking.
Not on a Boise State
closer
defense.
I'm looking like Boise State.
We're talking
42-38.
Yeah, I'm thinking Boise State 30.
I don't think Boise State's that
34.
Elite, though. I got to be honest with you. I'm not sold on them.
I disagree, Joe. 10 starters back on defense off of last year's team, which was a very good D at the same time.
And they
time.
Beat Oregon, but I mean, Oregon was 7-6 last year. I mean, they haven't fit. I think the speed. Justice Hill is the key to me. I mean, this is an offense.
He's going to have to carry them.
297 rushing yards per game. I mean, they have the type of talent to stretch them vertically. They don't play that type of talent from the outside in terms of.
What big games has Gundy won, though?
No, like,
that is the problem, isn't it? He might be at home, but show me a big win in a big game.
Against the spread, Joe, at home, 10-11, last 21 games.
Against the spread, all they have to do is win. It's a 2.5, 3-point spread. And to call it double digits, for the most part, I mean, a 10-point win is a double-digit win. I mean, you're not expecting them to win by 5, are you? I mean, if you take a favorite at 3, are you? Maybe Rich would. I don't know. I take a favorite.
Gabe, is Joe making a point here because he lost?
Expecting them to win by double digits. I mean, a touchdown, if you lay a touchdown.
He sounds like he's trying
can
to
you
tra-
Can you translate for me, please? Oh. Because I don't know what
sounds
he's
like
saying.
He sounds like the guy selling sunglasses on 35th out
sounds
here.
Like the guy who came in last week telling us the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl, the drunk who came
guy,
in the studio
last
week.
Broncos looked pretty good last week. He might be right.
They pushed, didn't they? Didn't they push last week?
A drunk guy last week at the sports book on Saturday night. He overheard us talking about NFL Survivor. This guy was, like, drunk out of his mind. He's like, man, you're taking the Saints. That's the stupidest thing ever. Everyone's going to take the Saints. They're going to lose.
Drunk's no best.
Like, get lost, buddy. Get lost, buddy. And yeah.
Drunk's no best.
Well, I mean, here's another game. I mean, I was high on both teams coming at the start of the year. Texas and USC. USC back-to-back road games. Lost that game last week 17-3 to Stanford as a 6.5-point underdog. They're now underdogs again in Austin. They picked up this victory last year 27-24. Sam Darnold and the crew got the victory, Rich, in overtime. A lot of pressure on Tom Herman after that week one loss to Maryland. I'm rolling the dice here. I like USC plus a 3.5. I think they get a 7-point win in Austin later tonight.
I'm calling this the Joe Lisi Retribution Bowl because if I'm correct, Joe had both of these teams in the college football playoff.
Okay.
Did not work out too well. Both teams have already lost and have been horrible.
What were Rich's picks?
All four of my teams still available.
What were they?
Well, let's discuss USC, Texas.
That's right.
Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. No, it was Wisconsin, actually.
It's okay.
Wisconsin. And Clemson.
I'm with you on Clemson.
All still undefeated, unlike Texas and USC.
Well,
I hate this
chalk.
Game. These two teams are... Well, I'd rather pick chalk and be right than pick two teams that had no business being in the college
Michigan
football playoff.
There. I picked Michigan.
In the playoff?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're going to win the Big Ten.
Who's your fourth?
Clemson.
Okay. Well, you'll get one right.
All right. Okay. We'll see.
This game is awful. I mean, I expected so much more out of these two teams. USC, Clay Helton, 1-9 against the on the road against the spread. USC, terrible on the offensive line. Texas defense has been okay. They let down. Should have covered last week against Tulsa. I'll take USC, more team speed, but this game just doesn't interest me that
much. Here's the thing, Gabe. I like Shane Bouchel as the better quarterback for Texas, and he rolled the dice with Sam Ellinger. I mean, now he has to stick with him. If he struggles early in this matchup, does he go back to Bouchel as an infusion to inject some life into that offense?
To be honest, Joe, I'm going to be happy when both these kids are gone. And no disrespect against these kids, but just so they can move on in this stupid little battle and back and forth.
It's going to be a couple of years.
It never ends. Yeah. And I can't believe with all the recruiting power and all the money and all the facilities, they can't just find a quarterback. You just can't find a quarterback to take over the realms of this team. I'm with you guys. Very, very disappointed in the Texas Longhorns here, and Tom Herman coming into this year. I didn't think that they were a national championship contender, but I thought they'd sort of kick the tires and hang around. The Texas would be back and be at least like a 9-win football team. They still might end up being a 9-win football team, but they have to show it to us. Now, I think USC is going to struggle. As much as we like Daniels, and this kid can play, he's a stud in high school, it's extremely tough. He's been, you know, fast-tracked and accelerated into the college football world. Look how tough their schedule is. His first game was against UNLV, who are better than people give him credit for. Then, boom, yeah, welcome to college football, kid. You're going up there to the farm. And we saw USC could only average like 3.1 yards from the line of scrimmage. It was a big problem for them. I had this game circled all summer long of being Tom Herman always talks about signature wins. And he said, I don't really have a signature win here. We need to get a signature win. You know, the signature is a little faded a little bit because it's not as sexy this game suddenly. But it's a leap of faith. I feel like I'm standing on the ledge here. Give me the Texas Longhorns tonight to get that signature win on their home field.
Well, I'll say this too. I really like the over. Over opened up about 50.5. It's down to 47. I think if you're USC, you have to be aggressive. You have to get JT Daniels involved in the offense and attack Texas's secondary that's given up around 223 passing yards per game. If they could jump up early to dictate the tempo, I like USC's chances here. Especially, I think we didn't see it last week. Stephen Carr, very disappointed in terms of how they're utilizing him in the offense.
Might not be 100%. Remember, he had back surgery in the offseason. It's possible he's not 100% at this point. And, by the way, the offensive line has been terrible and banged up. They're just not winning at the point of attack. 3 points last week against Stanford. I think it was the first time they scored 3 points in a generation. Yeah, it's been, I think, maybe more than 20 years. So this game really, if you want to watch this game, and you're probably not going to want to watch it.
Why not? It's 8 o'clock. It's USC, Texas. It's a great game.
Because you'd much rather watch Ohio State, TCU.
You watch both. You're at the book.
Watch them all.
I mean, you put them on your computer. You're not going to watch USC, Texas.
It'll be a backdrop game for me. It will not be a focus point game. It's
Rich
not where I'll focus.
Doesn't want to see another montage of Vince Young.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
The game of the century. Actually, you know what?
This comes down to the coaches, Gabe. I think that's the storyline here. Both of these coaches need this type of a game. They've gotten off to a slow start.
Considering all the hype around Tom Herman, he needs to win this game.
Oh, yeah.
He does.
He's almost turning into Harbaugh.
On him.
Isn't that a fair comparison? He's almost turning into the Harbaugh. I know it's a little early to judge him as a whole, but he was defensive right out of the gate when they lost to the Terps last year. Hey, I can't do this overnight. Can't turn this around.
Yeah, fairy dust.
Yeah, not fairy dust. Yeah, well, coach, we want a couple of wins. Give us a couple of wins against somebody. You're losing to the Texas Techs of the world.
Yeah.
He's turning into the Harbaugh. It's overhype.
Yeah.
Like Herman, you make big money. It's time to win.
It's year two, and you're Texas. You better be winning 10 games.
And everybody got on Charlie Strong for not winning in year number two. I mean, now he had, and he came
There's
in.
There's no excuse for
he
Tom
had one
Herman.
One of the best defenses statistically in the Big 12 last year.
Yeah.
So,
and he has a lot of talent. He's got a lot of talent on that defense as well. I mean,
that
team quarterback should be better.
Situation, though.
That's why I think the storyline is the coaches. That's what I'll be watching when I watch this game.
See, I think it's high scoring, though. I'm saying 37-30, USC gets a win on the road. I think they start fast and put the pedal to the metal over Tom Herman and Sam Ehlinger in that matchup. Let's turn our attention to Notre Dame playing Kyle Shurmur and Vanderbilt. Line opened up at 14, went up to around 17. Excuse me, opened up around 15.5, went up to around 17. I think it's down now to about 13.5. This is an intriguing game. You look at Vanderbilt, 2-0 overall, only giving up 8 points per game. They have the type of offense, Rich, to challenge Notre Dame's defense. Lipscomb, their wide receiver, and Blassingame are two solid players on the offensive side of the ball. And defensively, Vanderbilt only giving up 74 rushing yards per game. If they put the pressure on Brandon Wimbush early, he does only have one touchdown, four interceptions. Vanderbilt can cover this number later today.
I agree. I mean, it's one of my best bets. Gabe got me a little bit nervous because he's getting cold feet, but I'm not. And it's not really all about Ball State. I look at the Michigan offense. They're not... And you pointed this out to me earlier in the week. They're not running the ball the way they did last year. Maybe it's not having Josh Adams. Maybe it's not having those two first-round offensive linemen, McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson back, but they're not running the ball as well. And, you know, I like to look, everybody kind of dismisses when you face a lesser opponent. You're a big favorite. They dismiss those games. Well, you're supposed to do that, but you have to dig a little bit deeper. Those wins by Vanderbilt over Middle Tennessee, which has a veteran quarterback in Brent Stockstill, and Nevada, which has a veteran quarterback in Ty Ganji and a wide-open offense, they completely suffocated those two teams. Those two teams should have done more offensively, didn't do it against Charles Wright in that defense. So Notre Dame, which is struggling on offense, not running the ball, Wimbush not a great passer, I think that continues today. I think Notre Dame wins because Vandy will have a hard time moving the chains. I think this is a close game.
Yeah, I like Vanderbilt here. Not one of my best bets, Gabe, but you look at Notre Dame's offense, and we spoke about it. Last year, they averaged 269 rushing yards per game. Entering this matchup, only 124 yards per game on the ground. That could favor the over in this matchup. I mean, if you're Notre Dame, you want to strike fast. You're not going to take Vanderbilt lightly after you struggled against in-state rival Ball State as a 30-point favorite in that matchup. So I think Notre Dame has to start fast in this ballgame. Over could be a play.
You know, it's funny you talk about that because the trend with Notre Dame, and this is incredible, it's amazing how we notice these trends too late all the time. Notre Dame, 7-1 to the under in their last 8 football games. I was unaware of that. I always talk about perception and reality. I like what you guys are talking about with this game. It's not a best bet for me on either side. I just don't trust either team in the situation enough. I've been burnt by Vanderbilt too many times in the past. And yeah, it was impressive, Rich, that they, you know, in the fashion that they handled their business in the first two games. But it's the first road game. And you know, you get the first road game. They're kids. They've been at home for a couple of weeks. At first, you know, we saw what happened with USC when they went on the road with Daniels. Suddenly, life was a hell of a lot tougher for them. This one could get away from Vanderbilt a little bit. I don't see it as a best bet. If somebody does, tell me why you love it so much in the chat, why you're convinced this is a so-called lock. I just don't see it. But you mentioned the line movement. Bet DSI right now down to a 13.5. Was it 51.5?
Yeah.
So down to 13.5 right now. From betting purposes, I'm going to pass. But I'm intrigued to see. I'm intrigued by this football game. At this time of the year, we start to learn more about these teams, real true tests. And then by week 5, 6, and 7, that's when we really start to separate the pretenders and contenders.
Well, here's the thing, too, from a scheme perspective. You look at Middle Tennessee State, you look at Nevada, more wide-open attacks, finesse type of offenses, and you look at some of the teams last year in the SEC that Vanderbilt struggled with in terms of run support. They gave up 359 rushing yards to Alabama. They got blown out by Georgia. Big physical offensive lines. Now, I know McGlinchey's not there. Nelson's not there. But Notre Dame does possess a big physical offensive line. Mm-hmm. Do they get the running game going later today? I mean, that could be a possibility later in this matchup.
If this team is truly going to contend for a playoff spot, they have to get the offense going. They got to do more between the tackles because that makes Brandon Wimbush's life much easier. They've got big wide receivers, Chase Claypool on the outside. They got a lot of 6'3", 6'4", wide receivers. He has not been able to capitalize and take advantage of those weapons, the tight ends that they have at Notre Dame. What I like and why I think it's a best bet for me, I wouldn't call anything a lock these days, but I really like that Vanderbilt defense. Derek Mason has done a good job of putting together pieces to create a true SEC defense. And in terms of going on the road, I agree. I don't like the JT Daniels comparison, though, because Daniels is young. Shurmur is not. Shurmur is a mature veteran. Obviously, Lipscomb, Lassen game, Keshawn Vaughn from Illinois. If those kids could pull together, score a couple of touchdowns, I think we could have a game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Shermer's completed 67% of his
really
passes.
Turned around this year.
428 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's the one thing last year he cut down his mistakes. They're going to need to maintain drives in this ballgame. I mean, Vanderbilt enters this matchup converting 44% on third down conversions. You look at their defense, they're allowing opposing offenses to convert right around 40% of the time. That's the matchup as well. If you're taking the over here, Gabe, I mean, I think you want to see Vanderbilt jump up early, because if Notre Dame jumps up early and dictates tempo, the under might come in.
I would be leaning with the under here. We talk so much about Wimbush and Notre Dame's offense, but their defense has done a heck of a job so far this year as well, only giving up 16.5 points per game. Meanwhile, Vanderbilt, pretty stout defensively, SEC caliber talent on the football field. It's a sharp number. It's a tough game, guys. Like I said, there's, you know, it's a, it's, It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So we don't have to hit every bell as we run by. I would lean with the under. Notre Dame and the under if I had to bet it.
All right, we'll see what happens. When we come back, we'll be talking about Washington and Utah. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Ritz Sermonello, and Gabe Morenci live from Studio 34.